Sunday mornings we're looking at the life of Abraham, and so if you would turn to the book of Genesis and chapter 13. To begin just with one verse, verse 11, and then we will go back and work through this chapter together. The book of Genesis and chapter 13, and we read in the first part of verse 11, "So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east." William Jennings Bryan once said that destiny is not a matter of chance, it is a matter of choice. What happens to you and me in life is not primarily a matter of chance and of circumstance. Rather, it's the choice that you and I make when given the chance. And the choices we make in life are radically significant. Eleanor Roosevelt once made the observation that one's philosophy is not best expressed in words, it is expressed in the choices that one makes. It's not what someone says, it's the choices that they make in life. Our philosophy, our deepest values about life, that mysterious material that makes up what we call our character, who we are, is not going to be discovered primarily in what we say, but in the choices that we make in life. We have a very familiar story before us this morning, and it's a story about choices. Abram chooses to trust God. Lot chooses for himself. And very simply, this is the message that God has for us this morning. The choice is yours. I'm going to divide this chapter up into four sections. It's a unit, chapter 13. It's one story in the life of Abraham. It begins with a problem. We see how that problem is then solved, and that creates another problem. And then we see how God promises to solve that problem. And so the story begins. We find a problem. First seven verses. "So Abram went up from Egypt to the Negev with his wife and everything he had, and Lot went with him. Abram had become very wealthy in livestock and in silver and gold. From the Negev he went from place to place until he came to Bethel, to the place between Bethel and Ai, where his tent had been earlier, and where he had first built an altar. There Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now Lot, who was moving about with Abram, also had flocks and herds and tents, but the land could not support them while they stayed together, for their possessions were so great that they were not able to stay together. And quarreling arose between Abram's herders and Lot's. The Canaanites and the Perizzites were also living in the land at that time." Physically and spiritually, Abram is returning to the Lord. Chapter 12, we saw that he had faltered in his faith. There had been a famine. They had journeyed down to Egypt, but now they're coming back to the land of Canaan, right where they started. Physically, Abram is returning to where he left off, to where his tent had been at the beginning. But spiritually, he's returning to the Lord and to his life of faith. He's returning to where he first built an altar and called upon the name of the Lord. God had chosen Abram out of the whole mass of sinful humanity and said, "I will be your God and you will be my child." And God called Abram to live in the land of Canaan. He gave Abram certain promises and then he told Abram exactly what to do. But as we saw last week, a famine came into the land and Abram fled down to Egypt. And there he got all tangled up in a web of deceit. Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive. But God in his sovereign mercy untangled Abram. He restored Abram. He saved Sarai. He restored them to fellowship and then sent them back to the promised land. And sent them back loaded down with wealth. Livestock, silver, gold, all this stuff that Pharaoh loaded them with just to get rid of them. Here, take it and go. And so Abram came out of Egypt a very prosperous man. But it's this prosperity that now becomes the problem. The land could not sustain them while dwelling together, for their possessions were so great, and there was strife. There was quarreling. The lesson here is an important one for all of us. Our faith can be tested by having too much, just as it can be tested by having too little. Some of us would rather be tested by having too much than having too little. But we need to learn from this story that it has its own set of problems. Our faith can be tested by having too much, just as it can by having too little. In chapter 12, the problem was famine. They had too little. And now in chapter 13, the problem is fortune. They've got too much. Even the Hebrew word that's translated severe to describe the famine back in chapter 12 is now used to describe Abram's wealth. His riches here in chapter 13, verse 2. Our faith can be tested by having too much, just as it can by having too little. To be rich is not a sin. To be prosperous, to be successful is not a sin, but to be rich has its own set of unique problems, and the New Testament is full of warnings about the deceitfulness of riches. And here we see it's the cause of strife and conflict between believers. Next, we see the solution to this problem, verses 8 and 9. So Abram said to Lot, "Let's not have any quarreling between you and me or between your herders and mine, for we are close relatives." Literally, we are brothers. "Is not the whole land before you? Let's part company. If you go to the left, I'll go to the right. If you go to the right, I'll go to the left." Two lessons to be learned here. First of all, in the words of Jesus, "Blessed are the peacemakers." Takes the initiative to make peace. Please let there be no strife. Please let there be no quarreling between you and me, for we are brothers. Abram was really Lot's uncle. Abram was Lot's superior. Lot's father had died. Abram had adopted Lot and was in a position of authority over Lot. But Abram chooses to be a peacemaker, and he chooses to lower himself and to put himself on a lower level in order to bring about peace. We are brothers. We are close relatives. We're really fellow believers. We're brothers. Let there be no quarreling between you and me. We hear the same principle in Philippians 2. Do nothing from selfishness or vain conceit, but with humility of mind regard the other as more important than yourself. And then the second lesson here is that you can afford to be generous. Is not the whole land before you? Please let there be no quarreling, no strife between us, for we are brothers. Is not the whole land before you, Lot? Go ahead, pick what you want. Let's not argue about it. There's plenty here. Choose for yourself. And in this we see Abram making a choice. He's no longer afraid of famines. He's no longer afraid of what man might do to him. He's no longer afraid of what tomorrow might bring. He knows that he can afford to be generous. He can afford to let go of this land and look at Lot and say, what do you want? Take what you want. Is not the whole land before you? Abram now knows that his God can supply all of his needs. He can let go of the earth. He can let go of his wealth. He can let go of everything. He doesn't have to hoard it. He doesn't have to grasp. He doesn't have to worry. And by this choice, Abram demonstrates the reality of his faith. He chooses to trust God. And so Abram tells Lot, the choice is yours. Take what you need. Is not the whole land before you? Faith in God and generosity toward those who are in need, our neighbors, goes hand in hand. You trust God, you can afford to be generous. But now there's another problem. Lot takes him up on his offer. Okay, all of this is before me. I get to choose. Verses 10 through 13. Lot looked around and saw the whole plain of the Jordan toward Zoar was well watered like the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt. This was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. So Lot chose for himself the whole plain of the Jordan and set out toward the east. The two men parted company. Abram lived in the land of Canaan, while Lot lived among the cities of the plain and pitched his tents near Sodom. Now the people of Sodom were wicked and were sinning greatly against the Lord. Lot is probably standing on a hill near the town of Bethel. It's almost 3,000 feet above sea level, and from there he can look down and he can see the entire Jordan Valley. And what Lot sees entices him. That's some good land. It is lush. It is green. It is full of promise. But as Moses who's writing this story in the book of Genesis, but as Moses describes for us Lot's decision, it's clear that he wants us to see that Lot is making a bad choice. I mean, it seems like a good choice. I mean, that's great looking land. That's what I should choose for myself. You can have this or you can have that. Well, it's a no-brainer. I want to take that. It's all green. That's going to be productive land. I can live there. Moses wants us to see that Lot's making a bad choice. What Lot sees is like the garden of the Lord. And we all remember what happened in the garden of the Lord, don't we? The Garden of Eden, Genesis chapter 3. Eve lifted up her eyes and saw something attractive. She saw the fruit and she took it for herself and plunged herself into sin. Like Eve and the fruit, now we have Lot and the land. It's a bad choice. What Lot sees is like the land of Egypt. And we remember what just happened in Egypt, don't we? We saw this in chapter 12, that this is an attractive, but it's a dangerous place. Abram just learned that you could lose your wife down there. And Lot's going to learn a similar lesson. Remember Lot's wife. And then twice, Moses inserts an editorial comment about Sodom. As he writes this story, he makes sure that you hear the name of this town being mentioned. Before Lot makes his choice, we're told in verse 10, this was before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. And then after Lot makes his choice, we're again told in verse 13, now the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners. The story is warning us that this is a bad choice. We already know what's going to happen. He already tells us here in this story what happens to Sodom. We're told that Lot chose for himself. For himself. One of my professors in seminary is Bruce Waltke, and he would often make this comment, the essence of wickedness is to advantage yourself by disadvantaging others. The essence of wickedness is to advantage yourself by disadvantaging others. He would most often use it in the context of people coming in late for class. And you would think, oh, that's humorous. And then you would see, he's dead serious. The essence of wickedness is for you to expect everybody here to wait for you while you come in late. The essence of wickedness is to advantage yourself by disadvantaging others. To be always getting and never giving. To take and give nothing in return. To come in late and make everybody else wait for you. To make room for yourself by squeezing other people out. To grab first before anyone else has a chance to get what's there. I mean, it applies in so many areas of life. The essence of wickedness is to advantage yourself by disadvantaging others. And then he would assure us that the essence of godliness is to disadvantage yourself for the advantage of others. You put yourself at a disadvantage so that you can advance somebody else. To give and expect nothing in return. To come in early so nobody else has to wait for you. You're there and ready to go. To make room for another person, even if you get squeezed out. To regard others as more important than yourself. But Lot chose for himself all the valley of the Jordan. And then after his choice, Moses tells us that Lot journeyed toward the east. Physically and spiritually, Lot turns his back on the promised land and he heads east. Just as Adam and Eve, after they sinned, were driven out of the garden, they went east. Just as Cain, after he killed his brother and went from the presence of the Lord by going east of Eden, as the men who built the Tower of Babel, instead of spreading throughout the earth as God had told them to do, they all went east. I don't think there's anything wrong with east, except it's not what God says to do. You know, you're turning your back on the place of God's blessing, and you're going in another direction. Clearly, Moses wants us to understand that Lot's choice is not a good choice. This is a bad choice. What does God want us to learn from this? Well, simply choose well. Make good choices. Abram makes a choice. It's a choice that's informed by faith. He's got faith in God's character and in God's promises. So Abram makes a choice. Yeah, I can let go of this earth. He chooses to make peace and to be generous. He chooses to trust God and to enjoy God forever. Lot makes a choice. His choice is based on what his eyes can see, what looks good. And twice already Moses has hinted where Lot's choice is going to lead him, to Sodom, that city that was destroyed by the Lord. John Calvin, in his commentary on Lot, on Genesis and on Lot's choice, has this to say. He says, "Let us then learn by this example that our eyes are not to be trusted." Our eyes are not to be trusted, but that we must rather be on our guard lest we be ensnared by them and be encircled unawares with many evils. Just as Lot, when he fancied that he was dwelling in paradise, was nearly plunged into the depths of hell. Don't trust your eyes. Don't make choices just based on what you see or what you feel. Don't trust your eyes. Remember Lot. Remember the choice that he made. Remember where that choice lands him. And remember that the same choice is yours. But now we return to Abram and to God's reaffirmation of his promise. Verse 14, "The Lord said to Abram after Lot had parted from him, 'Look around from where you are, to the north and south, to the east and west. All the land that you see I will give to you and to your offspring forever. I will make your offspring like the dust of the earth, so that if anyone could count the dust, then your offspring could be counted. Go. Walk through the length and breadth of the land, for I am giving it to you.'" Just as Lot lifted up his eyes to look at the land, now God tells Abram, lift up your eyes. Look at the land. Look at all of the land. North, south, east, west. Look at all of it. Even the land that Lot has just taken for himself. All of it I'm giving to you. Abram, you have not lost a thing. All that you now see, even the land which Lot took for himself, I will give to you. So go, walk through the whole land, build your altars, call upon the name of the Lord. All of this is yours. So Abram went to live near the great trees of Mamre at Hebron, where he pitched his tents, and there he built an altar to the Lord. Two more very important lessons as we close. With the reaffirmation of God's promise to Abram, two important lessons. First of all, without faith, it is impossible to please God. God is repeating the promise that he had already made, the promise that he had already made to Abram, saying, this land is yours. Now he repeats the promise. And in doing this, God puts his own stamp of approval on what Abram has just done. Abram, you made a good choice. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. You made a good choice. You've made peace. You're being generous. You've proved the reality of your faith by your good works. You've proved that you really do trust me. You're not afraid of famine again. You're not afraid of what people can do to you. You're trusting me. Well done, thou good and faithful servant. He who comes to God must believe that he is and that he rewards those who seek him. And then the second lesson, again in the words of Jesus, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Isn't that what's taking place here? Abram seeks first the kingdom of God and God's righteousness. He believed God. It was reckoned to him as righteousness. And God promises, you haven't lost a thing. Everything else you need in life is going to be given to you. You really don't lose a thing by putting God first. You put God first in your life, and he will supply everything that you need through his Son, Jesus Christ. You put yourself in God's hands. He will take care of you. You've got nothing to lose and everything to gain. The choice is yours. Life is not about chance. It's not about circumstance. It's not about good luck, bad luck, what somebody did to me. It's all about the choices that you make. Be sure that you choose well. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all of these other things that you have need of, all of these other things that you worry about, will be given to you just as well. Let's pray. Father, we ask for an increase in faith. We recognize that the trouble that we experience and the torment that we drag ourselves through is because we've made a bad choice in not trusting you. We pray that you would increase our faith. Help us through worship, through your word, to understand more and more who you are, what you have done for us already, your willingness to forgive. We confess that just like Abraham, we've made many mistakes. But we're here, in your presence, calling upon your name, asking for mercy, and asking for that grace that we so need, that increase of faith in you, so that we would persevere to the very end. We pray this for the glory of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.